About a month ago, I heard that song for the first time. And the last line that I said, you're like starlight in the dark, endless miles can't conceal you. Every glimmer is a spark, catching fire as you break through. I know it wasn't meant to be a Christmas song, but this whole song just really spoke to me about what this theme means. And that's exactly what Jesus was. For 400 years that happened between the Old and New Testament, there was darkness. There was no word from God. And the Jewish people, they were waiting for God to come through for them. They were in this season of oppression, and they were just crying out to God, waiting for his chosen one to come. And then when he came, who would have expected it would have been in a baby? But that baby broke through that darkness, and he brought light and hope. And that's the beautiful story of Christmas. But that's also our story. I noticed in my own life that it's in the darkest times where I can see the Lord more clearly. For me, dark times tend to equal lonely times. Anyone who's talked to me for more than 30 seconds can probably pick up on the fact that I'm an extrovert. I like being with people. I like talking. I like sharing my life with people. So when I felt lonely, it was tending to be one of the darkest seasons. I grew up kind of moving around a little bit, so I kind of got used to the drill of getting to know new people and having to, you know, readjust often. I always at least had my mom, my dad, and both of my brothers, so no matter where we went, knew four people. But then when we got married and we moved here, I knew one. I knew Pastor Richard. And that one year was really hard. I remember crying a lot, questioning God a lot. Around the 6-month mark, I remember it was like our trial period, and I was like, all right, there's 6 months. Like, here's our exit strategy. If this is not actually where you want us, are you sure? But every time I asked that question, the following Sunday or at small group, someone would say something to me, they would pray with me, something exactly word for word what I had been praying to the Lord, and he was answering my prayers. I knew that he was with me, and I knew that even though I was out of my comfort zone, he was leading us and he was by our side. So I drew courage from the fact that he was with me, and I didn't leave. I'm glad I didn't. Thank you. No matter how hard life gets, no matter what's going on in your life, the Lord sees you, he hears you, and he loves you. And when things get hard, we have two choices. We can turn to God, or we can turn from him. My favorite scripture is in the book of John, chapter 6. There's this story where Jesus gives this really hard teaching, and all of these people who had been following him say, you know, you really crossed the line. This is just a little too uncomfortable. This is a little too out of the norm. Who on earth can follow this? And they walked away. Imagine being Jesus for a second in this story. He left the perfection of heaven. He became a man in this broken, fallen world. He knew the death that was going to come. And he faced it with joy because of his love for us. And he shares his teaching, and people leave him. So in what I imagine to be a really intense moment of humanity, he turns to his closest 12. And he said, do you want to leave me too? And Simon answers him, Simon Peter. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? For we have come to know that you are the Holy One of Christ. You hold the words of eternal life. What words of faith that was. And over this past week, I really felt the Lord lay that on my heart as a prayer for FCA. That we would have such a strong conviction that there is no one else that we can turn to in the midst of trials or in the midst of good times, that we would have that assurance, Lord, to whom shall we go? There is nowhere else to go. So this Christmas and this new year, may that be our posture, that we take, no matter what 2018 holds. Lord, to whom shall we go? Do you mind if I just pray really quick before I invite my husband up? Jesus, thank you so much that you hear us. Thank you that you love us enough to have come into this world, this messy world. You left perfection for this messy world because you loved us so much. God, I'm sorry for the times where in the midst of the things going on in my life, I've lost sight of the fact that there's nowhere else to turn. There's no one else who can sustain me. There's no one else who I can turn to that will be always faithful. Father, thank you that you are that rock for us, Lord. God, I pray that as we go into this new year, that would be our ready-made decision. No matter what comes, Lord, that we would decide, Lord, to whom shall we go? That we would cling to you and not let go, because we know that you are worth way more than anything this world can give. You are the best gift. We love you so much. We are so grateful for you and for all that you have done. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So now I get to introduce my husband. He's the one who's a lot more comfortable up here. So please join me in welcoming Pastor Richard, our youth pastor. Do you want to get up on the thing?
To be honest, I don't know why I'm more comfortable up here. I'm an introvert. So I don't know what happened to me, but somehow God did a miracle in my life before I became a pastor, and he gave me the ability to do this. So we're talking about Emmanuel, and one of my favorite passages, one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible comes from Psalm 139, and I'm just going to read four verses from that, 13 through 16, and it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." The reason this verse sticks out to me so much is because the way that I was born, I probably shouldn't have been alive today, or at the very least, I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. I was born with a heart defect, with a vein defect called the detransposition of the great vessels. Basically, my veins were in all the wrong places and connecting to the wrong parts of my heart. And what was happening was I was born blue, is what they say, because I had no oxygen. And at that time, it was something that never should have, I shouldn't be alive today, let alone as healthy as I am and as functional as I am. And I always, whenever I wake up in the morning, whenever I put a shirt on, I see the scar down my chest, and I'm reminded that God was with me. I'm reminded that he's with me now, and I'm reminded that he's going to stay with me forever. Because God is with me. He's with us. One part of that verse at the end, in the last verse, it says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me." That passage stuck out to me so much. That verse sticks out so much to me because God didn't just have a purpose to give me life, but he gave me life with a purpose. He didn't simply say, "Oh, I'll make sure that you live through this." But he said, "I'll make you live through this and give you something greater in your life." And when I was a junior in high school, he called me to be a minister. He called me and said, "Richard, I want you to share my word." And when doctors told me in college and they said, "Ministry and college and all of these different things are going to be something that is going to be very difficult for you because of your condition." But I said, "God, I trusted you then when you healed me. I trust you now in everything that you do. And I know that your plan is for the rest of my life, not just for a couple years. And I knew that he gave me a life full of purpose and not just a life. And for all of us here today, that's the truth. This isn't just a verse for me. This isn't just a chapter for me. This is a chapter for each and every one of us. What he's telling you this morning is he's saying, I was here with you when you were going through those hard times. I'm here with you now in your hard times and your good times. And I will be with you. I will always be with you no matter what you're going through. Whether it's what you want or whether it's what you don't want, he's with you every step of the way. And that's a promise he gives for the rest of your life, because he formed you in your mother's womb, and he knew the plans for you before you even were born. He knew what you were going to do. And he said, don't worry, I'm with you. I'm with you through it all. I'm with you. And that just, it means so much to me, that verse. And I hope and I pray that this Christmas, you're reminded of that. You're reminded of the fact that God didn't just bring you here to let you live and then die one day. But he brought you here to give you purpose and to give you something greater than just a life. And that's what he did. So thank you.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I am Pastor Chris's wife, Sharon, and it is my pleasure to share with you this morning what Emmanuel means to me. I think I'm just going to slide this just a little bit because it's going to get in my way. So when we think about the Christmas season and we think about Jesus and Emmanuel, the images that come to our mind are usually this beautiful little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. We see him in nativity scenes, and we see him in a manger, and we picture ourselves holding this beautiful little baby. Those are all wonderful, wonderful Christmas images. But when I think about Emmanuel, God with me, it goes way beyond when Jesus was a baby, because as beautiful as it is to think about that during Christmas season, what we need to remember is that Jesus didn't stay a baby. He grew into a man, and he sacrificed his life for us. And he died on that cross, but he didn't stay dead either. He rose from the grave, and now he walks in power and lives in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And so Jesus, Emmanuel, God with me, means more than a baby in a manger. It means that I am empowered by Emmanuel, God with me. And so this morning, I'd like to invite Wallace up, and he's going to help me demonstrate a few things in particular that God with us means to me. As we walk through our daily lives, we encounter certain burdens that we have to carry. And scripture tells us about a story from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And it talks about him having a thorn in his flesh, something he had to deal with in his life, and we don't know exactly what it was. But we know he pleaded with God to take that thing away. And for whatever reason, God said, no, I'm not going to take it away. But he said, instead, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And so there are things in our lives that we struggle with and that we deal with. And these things are heavy weights, and they are burdens to us. And I don't know if you can see this, but this is a heavy weight. And if I'm carrying this around on a daily basis and I'm dragging it with me, man, is that a burden. I had to bring this upstairs this morning because it lives in the basement. And by the time I got to the top of the stairs, I was panting. This is a burden, but I'm here to tell you that Emmanuel, God with me, is my burden bearer, and if I will allow him to, he will carry that thing, and he will walk beside me, and as long as I am willing to walk in relationship with him, his yoke is easy, and his burden is light, and his power is made perfect in my weakness. You can put that right there. And then there are other times in my life when I come across situations where I make mistakes and it is my own stupid fault. I open my mouth and dumb things come out and I am hurtful and sarcastic. or I make decisions that I know go against the word of God, and I do stupid things. And I don't do it on purpose, but we all mess up and we all make mistakes. And those are the times that we feel like we've stumbled and fallen. But you know what? We don't have to stay down there, because Jesus is walking along beside us. And if we will reach out our hand to him, he will help us up. He will brush us off. And he will forgive us of our sins and the things that we have done wrong. And then he will walk with us down the path of righteousness and show us the way to go. And then there are other times when I come against situations in my life and I am clouded by a fog because I have a decision that needs to be made and I am confused and I don't know which way to turn and I don't know which decision is the right one to make. And there is this cloud in front of me. But with one breath of the Holy Spirit from Emmanuel, God with me, that fog disappears. And he points me in the right direction. And he says, this is the way, walk in it. And we walk together again in the paths of righteousness. Amen. Thank you. Now, but get ready, because this is the best one yet, okay? So here's the one that excites me the most. Scripture tells us that we have an enemy, and that enemy roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And when that enemy comes up against us, he hurls insults at us, and he makes us feel small, and he makes us feel intimidated, and he makes us feel like we have to cower in fear. But I am here to tell you that when I have Emmanuel, God, with me, he is the one that's living on the inside of me. It is no longer I who lives. It is Christ who lives inside of me. And greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. So when that enemy comes against me and he is staring me in the face and hurling accusations at me, he is not looking at me. He is looking at Emmanuel, God with me. And so no longer do I have to cower in fear. No longer do I have to tremble or feel intimidated, because Emmanuel, God with me, is with me wherever I go and whatever I do. Amen? Thank you, Dallas. And so in closing this morning, I just want to share with you one verse of a song that I love, because it really sums up exactly what I'm trying to say this morning. And it's a song that's currently playing on K-Love, and I get excited every time I hear it, and my kids know it, because I make them all be quiet and I turn it up really loud and I sing it at the top of my lungs. So this is a song called Lions, and it's by Skillet. And I'm sorry, Aaron, I know it's not your favorite one. That's okay. Okay. All right. The first verse goes like this. Today we live, today we breathe. Today we know that we are strong when we are weak. Today we trust, today we overcome. Take every chain that kept us slaves and throw them off. We're not waiting for permission. We defy our inhibition. Like our middle name is fearless, unafraid. And then this is the chorus. If we're gonna fly, we fly like eagles, arms out wide. If we're gonna fear, we fear no evil. We will rise. By his power, we will go. By his spirit, we are bold. If we're going to stand, we stand as giants. And if we're going to walk, we walk as lions. That is the song. And I'm here to tell you, it is not just for us. It is not so I can walk around all peaceful and happy and bold and not afraid. It is for boldness that I can speak life into the people around me. So this power that is alive and at work on the inside of me, because Emmanuel, God is with me, it is not just for me. It should be bursting up like a well, springing out of me and being shared with each and every person around me. So the message of Christmas is, yes, Emmanuel, God with me. He gives me courage. He gives me strength. He carries my burdens. He washes away my confusion. But he also fills me with victory and boldness so that I can share that same love, that same courage, that same excitement, that same message of life to everyone around me. And that is the message of Emmanuel, God with us, from my point of view.
Yes, I do live with her. Sorry, she's taken. You can picture her preaching like that, can't you? Seeing her like it, like at conferences and stuff. You can tell that she's a school teacher, right? Just, you know. All right. So we've heard kind of different perspectives on what I guess you'd say Emmanuel, God with us, means to each one of the people that are probably that I work with the closest here at FCA. Let me give you what it means to me. Emmanuel, God with us, it means that God is with me. Yes, it's literally that simple. That's what it means to me. I've learned to hate living life alone. I do. Matter of fact, things are just not as good when you do them by yourself. I mean, watching a movie by yourself, it's not as good. It's not. Matter of fact, last night, me and my family sat down and we watched the movie Elf. We watch it every Christmas. And you know, we've seen the movie, we can quote the movie, we laugh at the movie. But you know what? When you're watching it with someone else, you see their emotions, and it's more fun when you do things like that together. Matter of fact, eating a meal by yourself, it's not as good. Matter of fact, in my opinion, it doesn't even taste as good. I used to travel a lot before I became a pastor. I used to go to Indianapolis a lot, and I used to hate going to a restaurant by myself. There's nothing worse to me than sitting at a table by myself, and I'm there with like a phone or a book, and it was like the fastest meal I've ever eaten in my life. I would rather just take takeout, bring it back to my hotel room, and eat it there. I'm just telling you, food tastes better when you're eating it with someone. You kind of savor it more when you're talking with someone. Even working on a job by yourself, it isn't as satisfying. I don't know what it is, but when I work with different people and we're kind of like working side by side, especially like when I'm working outside, it's like if I get tired, they push me on, don't they? It's like I kind of look over and all right, they're sweating, but they're still going, so I gotta get it done. And then when the job is done, you kind of both look at it with satisfaction, don't you? You both kind of look at it like, yeah, that looks good. You know, like high five or whatever, fist pump, whatever. I mean, it just... You're proud of what you've done when you've worked together. I mean, it could be something as simple as a rainbow. I remember coming home from school with my daughter Heidi, and we saw it. It was a rainbow. So I'm like driving really slow, and she's snapping as many pictures as she can. I mean, it could be a beautiful sunrise or a sunset, right? It could be a bonfire. Don't you want to do a bonfire with people around it? You're kind of hanging out. I mean, it could be just a drive down the road looking at the autumn leaves when they turn beautiful colors. It's just something about doing things with other people that just, I don't know, to me it just makes it more special. And I've just learned, like, the older I get, when God said, remember he said it in the book of Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. It's truth. Look, I'm not saying that there aren't some things that you can enjoy by yourself. There are. There's some things that you can enjoy by yourself. I'm just learning, for me, I want to share things with people. I like living my life with others. But see, the problem that we run into, and you'll understand this, is that we live in a world full of imperfect people. Have you noticed? Yeah. Even me, believe it or not, I'm imperfect. People will fail us. People will leave us. People have bad moods. You know, I've learned that people will lose their temper and walk away. Look, there are times when I don't even want to be around some of the people that I love the most. It could be because of their behavior, or it could be because of mine. I've also learned that sometimes, and we don't like to talk about this, but sometimes God asks us for periods of time in our life to walk alone. Roads, by ourselves, no one else around. Those are lonely times, aren't they? Jobs are harder when you're doing them by yourself. I don't know about you, but I get tired a lot quicker when I'm by myself. Matter of fact, the push to finish things, it just becomes less and less. It's like, oh, I can always finish that tomorrow. Maybe next week. We just want to quit when you're doing it by yourself. There's no, matter of fact, do you have a lot of incentive to change when you're by yourself? No. There's nothing to push you to do anything different. I've learned that I become more easily depressed when I'm by myself. Have you noticed that? Well, see, what I've learned is that when we're alone, we have an enemy who sees that. And you know what? He comes at us. He attacks us when we are the most vulnerable. And you're the most vulnerable when you are by yourself. Matter of fact, those are the times where we need Emmanuel the most, isn't it? Those are the times that we need to know that no matter what we've done in our life, we have someone who will love us anyway. Matter of fact, those are the times in our life that we need to know that there is nothing, and the Bible says this, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. See, every one of us can look back to times in our life when we felt afraid, we felt misunderstood, we felt tired, we literally felt in pain. Those are the times that we feel the most alone. I mean, we've all had those opportunities or those times where we've lost our job. We've all had those times in our life when we've heard that medical report, right? It could have been for us or it could have been for someone that we just love. We've had those times in our life where we've made those mistakes and we just can't take it back. You know, it's like we want to get that time machine. If I could just go back and redo that, we can't. We can't go back and redo those things. We've had those times when we've been rejected by the ones that we love. Matter of fact, the ones that we thought they would never reject us. And they did. Trouble came and everyone left. We felt deserted. We felt all alone. Well, I guess it kind of seemed that way though, right? See, I can tell you that when you feel that way, you're in good company. See, there was this man in the Bible who did that. He had to walk a lonely road all by himself. Matter of fact, he's the one that we're celebrating today. His name is Jesus. He had to walk a road all by himself. Matter of fact, even his own father left him. Matter of fact, we can read about it. I'll put the scripture up for you. It's in Matthew chapter 27. Verse 46, it says, about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice. I'll just read the English part. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus said that on the cross, walking a journey that we were supposed to walk, but we couldn't. Doing something for us that we never could do for ourselves. He was abandoned by all of his friends, all of his family, and yes, even his father. Jesus was truly alone, but he did it so you would today have the choice of not ever having to walk alone again. He gave you that choice by doing that. See, today I want to remind you just how important it is to have Emmanuel in your life. See, you can choose today to ask Jesus to forgive you of everything that you've ever done in your life. And you know what he will? Do it. He will. You know what? You can give him the opportunity to come and live inside of your heart. He will never leave you. You have the choice today to say, I'm going to live my life forever with someone else. I can choose to follow them. Remember, I love this verse. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. It says, God is striding ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you. Don't be intimidated. Don't worry. See, that is what Emmanuel means to me. But my question really is the more important one is, what does it mean to you? Where is it in your life? Are you tired of walking through life alone? Are you like me and you've learned that when I do things with someone else, it just makes it better. It makes it more special. It makes it kind of come alive. See, you have the choice and the chance today to give your life to the one person who, no matter what you do, will never leave you. No matter what you say, he will never forget you. Talk about the greatest gift of all time. See, I'm not promising you that he's going to take away all your troubles. I'm not. I'm not promising you that when you invite him into your heart, when you ask him to forgive you of all your sins, when you decide to follow him, I'm not promising you that when you follow him, that he's going to bring you some places that are not easy. He will. But I will promise you this. You'll never do it alone. Ever. He promises he will never leave you. He will never forget you. So really, the question that I have for you is, would you like the opportunity to invite someone to become in your heart? Yeah, Pastor, that seems a little spooky. So I'm talking to a guy that I can't see. I'm talking to a guy that, you know, and you're saying he's going to live inside my heart. That seems a little crazy, Pastor. Yeah, it's called faith. Matter of fact, the Bible knew that you'd have that question because the Bible literally says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So your relationship with God is 100% based on your ability to believe in something you can't see. Look, it is a historical fact. Jesus lived on earth. Historical fact. No one denies, even atheists won't deny the fact that he was alive. Atheists won't even deny the fact that he died on a cross. They won't deny that because that's historical fact. They just don't like the end of the story, right? The fact that he died for every one of you. The fact that he rose again and is alive today. And the fact is that he's coming back again for you. He's coming back. So let me leave you with this. Look, trust me. If you do not leave here with anything else, leave here with Jesus. Leave here with the greatest gift. It's a gift. You know what gift means? Free. Well, free for the giving. It's the following part. That's the hard part, right? Because Jesus wants to become your Savior. Savior means he wants to save you from your sins, from the things you've done wrong. Is there a perfect person here? Okay, I just wanted to check. I was going to have you kind of switch places with me. So he wants to be your Savior, which means he wants to forgive you of the things you've done wrong. But he wants to be your Lord. You know what that also means? He wants you to follow him. That means that you do what he asks you to do. So, all right, you've been sitting for a while. I want to send you home. So why don't you stand with me?